This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support the show. $5 a month. You will get ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus episodes. And also, we appreciate it, so that helps us out.
Yeah.
We have a couple of cool announcements. What are they?
So first of all, my interview with Dr. Nikki Hemmer is up. She is a historian who focuses on the conservative movement of the kind of latter part of the 20th century and presidential history. And we talked for about an hour and a half about a bunch of dorky history shit. And it was so fun. And I love her. And I think we're best friends. I'm not sure if she knows that yet. Also, our 500th episode is coming up, which
is
wild. That's absolutely insane to me.
There were at least three good ones.
Yeah, I mean,
in the
statistically
bunch.
Speaking, law of large numbers, one of them had to be palatable. So we're going to celebrate and do a meetup in our area. In the past, we've gone into the city of Chicago. Sorry, I said that weird. But Hemant and I are old and lazy, and we want you to come to us. So we're going to have some kind of get-together in sort of the Naperville, Aurora, Western Suburbs area. Location TBD.
On October 21st.
2023. So
save the date.
Save the date.
Details to come.
If anybody lives around us and has a good suggestion of a place we can go, there's a couple breweries around here. There's Two Brothers. Ton of restaurants in downtown Naperville. But if anyone has a particular place to book or whatever, let us know. If not,
good times.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'll leave the house.
So strange. Are you going to bring your
family? No, no one knows I do this show.
I bet my parents will come. My parents come to shit like this sometimes.
Let's start this week with this wild story that I have not seen reported anywhere else. But when I started finding out some of the details about it, man, I went down the craziest rabbit hole over the weekend.
So are we not going to talk about the debate that I didn't watch last night?
The debate
is
was
there anything worth talking
horrible,
about?
Horrible, and I'm embarrassed that that's the best the Republicans can do.
Is it?
And Trump ditched it, and he came out ahead.
Did he?
Yes.
I truly forgot it was happening until I saw something on our Facebook page, and I was like, should I watch this? And everyone's like, no, no.
You have a watch party scheduled?
I know. Can you believe it? Ugh, what a dork I am.
I've been waiting for weeks for it.
Oh, I know, yeah.
It was expectedly horrible.
He's had an advent calendar counting down the days.
It's my Super Bowl. Okay. That and the spelling.
Sorry.
Bee.
I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Okay. So we're going to talk about this rabbit hole thing I went down a couple days ago.
Yeah, please do.
So here's the backstory. Bledsoe, Kentucky. Does that name ring a bell?
Bledsoe?
Bledsoe, Kentucky. A rural part of Kentucky. They have a lot of artists.
As opposed to the many, many urban centers of Kentucky.
There's a group
called...
Spell
it for me?
No.
Bledsoe?
Yep. So there's a group called Waymakers Collective. It's a nonprofit group. They give out grant money and have learning opportunities for artists in the area. And it seems like a really neat organization. They say they've given out over $1 million to date.
Mm.
And this past weekend, they were going to have a gathering. They did once last year. They were going to do it again this time around.
This is deep in Appalachia.
Okay.
Appalachia.
Yeah. Shit, so they said, we're a group that supports these artists in Appalachia. Mm-hmm. And hey, if you can come on down to this retreat, we're going to just like-minded people gathering in one spot. You know, when you're around other artists, maybe you can get more creative juices flowing, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the plan for the weekend. Where were they going to do this event? It was going to take place at apparently like a place that's been around for like 100 plus years, the Pine Mountain Settlement School, which isn't actually a school, but it's like an 800-acre campus.
Shit.
Has dozens of buildings. It's been around forever, been used for different things depending on the owners.
Oh,
and now
I see.
Anyone can rent out the space for whatever they use, according to the schools.
Like it's housing or like corporate stuff?
Both.
Oh.
Their website said, we have hosted everything from church retreats to theater conferences to recording sessions. Like they do a little bit of everything.
Oh, I see. So it's like a conference center, sort of. It's a McCormick Place of Appalachia.
Sure.
Appalachia. Damn it.
Failed. So the Waymakers Collective group said, we have a lot of members who have gone there for different events, and they all said it was awesome. Really enjoyed my time there.
It's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, if you're hosting a thing, that's a good place to host it. So mm-hmm. they did all the paperwork they needed to do.
Okay.
And so they had this place booked. Okay, so the schedule for the weekend for all these artists involved whatever, performances, meals, lectures. There was also free time, so you can all gather with whoever you want to gather and do whatever it is artists do. I don't actually know what artists do.
Are you okay?
Yes. So they also made it clear that, I'm going to read from their letter. They said, we also on campus, this big campus, have a healing space. And here's what that is. I'm quoting from Waymakers. The healing space was something we instituted last year when our gathering occurred right after the flood in eastern Kentucky. Mm. And we knew many of our participants traveling from eastern Kentucky were coming off weeks of relief work and they were impacted by the flood themselves. So basically, this is a little cute chapel to help facilitate restorativeness, rest, and reflection. So if you go into the chapel, there's places where you could take a nap, sit in quiet meditation, do prayers if that's your thing within your own tradition. But like, if you look at a picture of this place, they have blankets on the ground.
See?
You could see a picture. Yeah. They have blankets on the ground, throw pillows, candles. It's cute.
Oh, that looks zen as fuck.
Yeah. It's very relaxing of a little, I don't know if those are real candles or just light up candles, but yeah. It's very relaxing. Cool. So they have that space too. And a
like,
large part of the
if
weekend.
If they had an ayahuasca ceremony there, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right? So they said, if you can go in there, there's scheduled times when it's open. Mm-hmm. And you can go in there if you want to, or if you don't, whatever. No one cares.
I'm so confused about where this is going.
Sure. Oh, you have no idea where this
really
is going.
I really don't. But your tone makes me feel like it's going to make me uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
So... You didn't comment on this while you came around to look at this picture.
Oh.
But one of the other things that is in the this healing space is just a painting of an Om symbol.
Yeah, I did see the Om.
What is an Om symbol when it comes to, like, a healing space?
I honestly actually don't know now that
sure.
I say that.
It's just, it's like a Hindu symbol that it's...
It's like peace,
it's
right?
peace, it's meditation, it's something you can say while you're meditating, mm-hmm. doing yoga. But in this context, it's not religious because they don't give a shit what your religion is. It's just a peaceful symbol. Again, if it helps
Om
you, cool.
Om is a very common thing that people, like a lot of Om tattoos, trying people to sort of like chill themselves out. Yeah.
So, whatever. If it does something for you, fine. If it doesn't, just like the candles, just like the throw pillows, it's like, ignore it. It's not for you then.
Oh, God.
So that's how I took it.
Is there a chance that somebody might not have ignored it?
Oh, just you wait. Oh. Just you wait.
Oh, boy.
So, like I said, it wasn't religious in nature, and this wasn't a religious retreat. I should also say, the school where they're at, that campus.
Yeah.
Is not a religious place. There's a chapel there because when they built it like 100 years ago, you couldn't build an outhouse without a chapel attached to it. So they have a chapel at this place.
What did you just say?
Those are very popular chapels. So the chapel, like, this is not a religious place. They did not rent a church and had access to the space.
I feel like you're over-explaining this.
I'm not even.
Okay.
They just had the access to the space. They used the chapel for their little healing space. Fine.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. Members of this community, the artists, start coming in. They're so excited about this retreat. They start sharing pictures and videos of the gathering, and everyone's super happy and excited. The pictures get out to the community because that's what happens when you post things on social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to quote a guy named Tate Napier, who is in the community, not the artist community. He's in Kentucky. And
Tate Napier is the captain of the canoeing team for the Mean Kids Camp across the lake.
I wouldn't be surprised. But basically what he said, this is from his post that he made on Facebook with the picture of the healing space there.
Saw?
The one you just saw. I'm quoting a part of his Facebook post. All caps, by the way.
Oh, boy.
This will not happen on my watch. I don't care what the world says about it. I only care what God says.
Wait,
if you don't like
guy?
It, sue me. He's a rando who's not part of the artists, and he has no affiliation with the school that they rented
he
from.
He saw an Om somewhere and got big mad about it?
Yes. Not
Boy,
only...
these guys are sensitive, eh?
Not only did he get mad, he decided to bring a group of his friends over to the chapel. Yes.
No, Hemant, you're lying to me.
He and 8 or 9 of his buddies went to the chapel. Mind you, this is rented out space by this artist's community.
Oh, my God.
And they do not own the school. These are just, like, community police.
This is probably neither here nor there, but that ohm symbol, did that come with the property, or was that a
No, the artist brought it just like they brought the candles and the pillows. Here's what Tate Napier told a reporter who was writing about this later. The people in the chapel said they were doing nothing wrong, and I asked if they were in there to worship Jesus. And a few started raising their voices at me, so I told them to just get their stuff, that we weren't there to argue. I even helped them gather their things and pack them to their cars.
Oh my God, this man fully assaulted them.
After all that happened, the state police and sheriff deputies showed up, and they agreed. They being the artists, I think, they agreed to stay out of the chapel, but then ultimately they decided to leave because they said they felt unsafe. Tate adds, if they want to do that stuff, they can do it in their own homes or buildings or wherever else, but it is not happening in Jesus's house as long as I'm around to defend it.
These
unquote.
People
Tate.
Have completely lost the plot. This guy, how far did he have to drive to get here?
He's local, I think. It wouldn't have been a long drive for this guy or his posse.
Wait, I need to take like 4 steps back.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm trying to think.
Mind you, this artist program began Friday night. Mm-hmm. It is now Saturday afternoon when the mob shows up to the chapel because they saw the ohm painting.
Okay, have you ever been to like a retreat like this, Hemant?
No.
Okay, so I used to go to these a lot in high school. I was part of Snowball, not to brag. It was the anti-drug and anti-drinking group
failed.
And that stuck, obviously. That's it. But we would go Hinsdale South, Hinsdale Central, we would combine and we would go to these like YMCA camps usually, right? So it's a huge piece of property and there's a few outbuildings, right?
Yeah.
There's the main gathering center. And there's cabins all over the place, and you do have a very strong sense of isolation, and not isolation in a dangerous way, but like, you know, community.
I'm one with nature.
Yeah, or just like it's very culty, right?
Like
it's very like, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And genuinely, like I'm like placing myself in like the hall we would sit at the end of the night and do the thing where you like make thunder and rain in the dark. You know, remember that thing?
Sure,
like shit like that. So imagining that sort of vibe of just people like just
peacefully enjoying
just
their
to fucking
time,
chill, yeah. And especially artists, like, you know,
I
if
imagine
you're a creator,
the reason, I imagine the reason a lot of artists wanted to go to a thing like this is to get away from shit.
Because that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, if you are a creator right now, a lot of us are on the struggle bus because shit's pretty fucking wild right now, and it's really hard to like quiet your mind. So I'm just, all of this is to say, like, can you imagine the self-care of, you know what, I'm going to go to this retreat, I'm going to, like, recenter myself, I'm going to stare at an ohm and feel good about it, and sit in some blankets and whatever, maybe do some ayahuasca. Imagine having that intentional community set up. And then fucking the good old boys roll in and just burst into your your hotel room, right?
Yeah.
Like, imagine how many conferences have you been to? Imagine somebody just bursting into your room.
They're not invited. They didn't have access to it.
I genuinely find this deeply horrifying.
It's horrifying. One of the artists who was there who posted video about what happened. By the way, I don't know if I pointed this out. A lot of the members of the Waymakers community here, they are LGBTQ. They are people of color. The idea of this good old boys mob showing
up.
Ooh,
I did not account for that because I'm a white person.
Like when these guys show up, your instinctive reaction is, I don't want this to get violent because this won't end well. In fact, one of the people who posted about this online she said the invaders alleged that the artists were desecrating their space and demanded that we leave. And what she said is, all of us wanted to avoid escalating the situation. Understandable, since a lot of them come from marginalized communities.
Yeah, otherwise, you get fucking Waco.
Yeah. So they were like, you know what? We'll just pack up our shit and leave because this is not going to end well. So that's why they left. Now, after this conflict begins, there is no violence at this point, but the guys have barged in.
Were they armed, do we know?
As far as I can tell, no. A staffer from the school.
I bet
school,
they were armed. I've been to that part of the country.
Do not know.
I got out of a car at a Starbucks, and my dude next to me was carrying two guns into the Starbucks.
Gotta do it. Yeah, right? Our dude Tate says we didn't want to escalate. Like, we
didn't want to escalate?
Sorry, he did not say they brought in things, and he said somewhere that he didn't want this to get violent.
Why
I don't
does he
know.
Think
anyway,
he has
we'll get back to him.
To this.
I should say, a staffer from the center showed up trying to play mediator at this point because I don't know how to get these people out of here. So they're just trying to like calm the situation down. I will say the Waymakers said we appreciated what that staffer was doing.
Sure, you got to de-escalate.
But now you have the school staffer like calling the police to, hey, can you get over here? You have artists calling the police saying, we feel we're in danger, please show up. So now the police get there. According to Waymakers, we were also then told that the executive director and board of the school that they rented the space from had ordered our group to not return to the chapel during our stay.
No.
Yeah. This is the message they got from the people in charge of the space that they rented, said, okay, we need you guys to just not go to the chapel, which doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you punishing the people who rented your space by excluding them from a space they had access to? Here's what the Waymakers said in a statement.
That could not be handled worse.
I'm
so sorry. Yeah. Waymakers are the group?
The artists.
The artists.
The nonprofit group running the program.
Okay. Is there a name of the property?
Yeah, it's Pine something, Pine Mountain Settlement School, PMSS.
Okay.
I don't make all the right acronyms. So here's what Waymakers said after all this. What was ultimately at issue was the safety of our collective. We're a family-friendly community. We had parents at the event who had brought their children. PMSS is a place that has long welcomed children onto its campus. So we asked their board and leadership, why were children, families, and our guests put at risk in this way? Why were outside people who are not part of our gathering allowed to be present on the campus and interrupt our private paid-for event? Why were there no safety procedures in place that the staff could follow to keep the people who rent PMSS safe? These were some of the many reasons we made the call to end our event a day early and leave the property for the safety of everyone in attendance. Many of our participants are deeply traumatized by this experience, especially those of us with personal lived experiences of racial and gender biased violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a reporter who wrote anything about this at all and is a community reporter, knows, like the police, knows some of the people involved here. That reporter said, it's unclear if the chapel was a part of their retreat facility lease agreement or not. Like, she's suggesting that maybe the chapel wasn't part of what they rented, and so maybe they didn't have access to it. But the Waymakers certainly believed they had access to it when they rented the space. In fact, in a statement they put out, they even said, before we rented the space and we talked about what we could do with the property, I'm paraphrasing here, but they basically said, so what are we allowed to move around and not move around? And they were told that in the chapel, don't move the pews that are in there because we just like refloored everything. So like, don't move that. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. We won't touch those. But everything else, they had access. So, like, the chapel was a part of their discussions. So everyone seemed to think chapel was involved, included.
I mean, truly trying to say, you weren't supposed to use the chapel in the first place. And that's why a rando came in with a little militia to kick you. Like, even if they were not supposed to be in there, like, how is that the thing they're focusing on? Instead of, like, hey, maybe militias are not something we should welcome into our place of business.
Uh-huh. Oh, so here's an aspect of this I have not told you about.
I'm
about to drop the
mic. So these people got invaded by outside people who had nothing to do with the property.
Correct.
Or they had no ownership or obligation to any of it.
That is right.
They show up, try to kick people out of a place that is not theirs.
Yes.
The police are called.
Yes.
Everybody decides
there's a picture of two sheriff's deputies or something standing outside the chapel just to prevent anyone from getting inside. Like, this, we need to protect this building right here, which is a weird thing to do.
De-escalate it, and the situation as it
It did de-escalate. It stopped
it
there.
It ended.
But also, artists were like, well, one, we need to get out of here for our safety. And two, why are you telling us we can't use the chapel even if we do stay here? Why is the property owners telling us we can't use this space if we stay here? Because
yeah,
this is part of our thing.
Seven ways of fucked.
Wait. I haven't dropped the mic yet.
I don't.
Our friend Tate.
Just hold on to it, though.
Our friend Tate here.
Tate.
So I found this online, too. This is from 2017. This is an article about Tate. Are you ready for
this? An article about Tate? Okay, let's hear it.
When he was 21, 7 years ago. He was arrested on Thursday by Kentucky State Police Trooper. According to the citation, police received a call on Wednesday stating that Tate, 21, had physical contact with a 15-year-old female in her room. Police were advised by the female's mother that Tate ran out of the door when she caught them. This dude, Tate, made contact with the police and stated he wished to talk to the police about the incident, yada, yada, yada. He was charged with first-degree sexual abuse. He's a child sex predator who now wants to defend the House of Jesus.
I don't understand what is wrong with these people.
Oh, did you say you wanted more? I have more.
No.
It turns out in Kentucky, do you know what a judge executive is?
Of course I don't. What are you talking
about? It's like the mayor of the town. They're called, you get elected, but their title is county judge executive. Well, the person who runs the county, his name is Dan Mosley. He posted this on Facebook shortly after the incident occurred.
I'm gonna hate this.
I have a lot on my mind this evening, but I'm going to be brief. I'm proud of the people of Bledsoe and Big Laurel, the two cities. Your perspective is my perspective today and in the days ahead. It's always better to ask questions than throw stones, and civil discourse is always the best pathway to resolution than a Bible verse. He was referring to the mob that went to the chapel to say, what are y'all doing here in our space and the Lord's space? He even said later, to a Facebook comment, I'm appalled. Frankly, it made me sick at my stomach. He is referring to the artist putting an own painting in the chapel. He said, this is the same chapel his wife and I got married at, and we have attended many weddings and nativity plays there.
These people are so pathetic. Uh-huh. Like, it's so disgusting to me. Like, what if I just, like, went and barged into my elementary school and was like, no, I hate what you're doing here. Get, like, you don't have, just because you have an emotional connection to a place doesn't mean you get to dictate its use for all of time.
Much less
dictate
that.
Especially when you don't own it.
And the chapel, they're saying, this is a place for Jesus. It's not a church right now. It's just the building called a chapel. It can be used for whatever it wants to be used for. They did not desecrate the place. They didn't take down anything that was there. They just put up their own stuff, and then they were going to take it down when they left. That's how rentals work.
This feels so much like the pride flag on the camera of whatever shitty conservative
that
show,
movie
it was.
Yeah.
It really is so, it's so telling, don't you think, that they are triggered, and I use that word intentionally, they're truly triggered by things like this. In such a dramatic, like,
this is what they do in small towns, apparently.
I really can't think of, I just don't understand. I just do not understand how somebody can look at that picture and be like, this is really bad, but meanwhile be a 21-year-old interested in a 15-year-old. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know people say, like, every accusation is a confession or whatever they say, but it's just kind of hard to ignore the pattern of...
My favorite. So I'm going through Tate's Facebook page because just wild.
Mess.
Oh, like I said,
your
crazy rabbit hole.
You should be spending time with.
They are lower priority than Tate right now. So I'm going on Tate's Facebook page. And so first there's that post of like, let me go back to that post he initially did to get the mob riled up. We went in as a community of believers of Jesus Christ, says the child sex predator, and had these people removed from his, capital H, chapel. Nobody was mean. No fights broke out. We even helped them carry the stuff out. And I tried speaking to them about Jesus, but they wanted no part in that. Dot, dot, dot.
The entitlement is disgusting.
He said, just so all the community knows, since the group already paid to stay there this weekend, they will get to stay in their cabins and use other property places. But there will be two deputies there for the rest of the night guarding the chapel and making sure nobody is able to access it. Suggesting that the deputies were working on his behalf, I will say the deputies were like, dude, we're just here to keep the peace. We're not defending it from anybody, whatever. But that's what he posted. Later on, there's another post, more recent after that one, that's like, oh, I knew people would bring up that charge from several years ago.
I knew someone was going to mention that I murdered somebody. Uh-huh. It always comes up.
Everyone brings up the 15-year-old girl.
There were no 15-year-old girls there, even at all, mm-hmm. I don't think.
He's married and has a child now, by the way.
Of
course he does.
Okay.
I'll just finish up here. You could chime in after that. Here's where we're at as we're recording this.
When did all this go down?
This went down over the weekend.
This past weekend.
Waymakers put out a statement about all the stuff that went down on Monday. And basically, as of this moment, there's only one article that came out from the reporter who tried to get in touch with everybody.
Story.
Waymakers is still trying to figure out their next steps. I haven't been able to get any other statement from them about, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to retaliate? Like, not retaliate. Are you going to, like, file a lawsuit? Are you going to complain? I mean, what are you going to do next? They have not stated that publicly. I mean, I think their main concern is we want to make sure our artists feel safe right now and are back in a good spot as much as we can help that. But they haven't said anything. The sheriff's department hasn't said they're going to pursue any charges. I don't know if anyone's going after Tate in terms of you just invaded a space that you didn't have access to, and that should be a crime, I would think.
Property owners would be the only ones who could level charges.
And the school has not said we're going to do anything about this either. So we're kind of all waiting on what are all these groups going to do next. But if the county leaders and the school property owners aren't going to take this seriously enough, and the invaders face no consequences for barging uninvited onto private property, I don't know how you resolve any of this stuff so it doesn't happen again in the future.
They don't care
to resolve it
so it doesn't happen in the future, because they don't care about people who aren't white Christians. I just, boy gang, shit's fucking grim out there, eh?
Disturbing stuff.
This is really...
Can you see why I went down the rabbit hole? Because
no,
when you start
going
down this, it's like, wait, who did this? Wait, he did what 7 years ago? Wait, how is no one more pissed off about this? Because they are. The artists are. They're upset that this happened because it cut short their vacation. Not vacation, their retreat. It was a chance to be productive.
Yeah.
I would be pissed off too. And even if that didn't happen, but it just got cut short. Like, because... to go to a 3-day retreat like this, you have to get your shit in order in
you
advance.
You really
in order
do,
to go, especially if you have
your
families.
Kids. Yeah,
like, so
I just don't know what to say, because things like this happen, and I feel like I see this over and over and over again, that people who are conservative tend to want to fight made-up battles.
And this is the definition of a made-up battle. These are the same people, by the way, type of people, who go after when they're doing yoga in elementary schools to teach yoga.
And
it's like, we're teaching kids how to stretch and be calm and just try to mindful. And they're like, I'm sorry, did you say yoga? Those are letters that should not be in that order in English. And did you say the word om while you are meditating or something? That seems demonic or Hindu, and that's the same thing in their heads. And so they flip out over yoga in elementary school. That's what this dude was doing. So that's what the Republican debate was like.
Fair. I guess I just find it really frustrating to watch these people who have such a hero complex, right? They think that they're there to save the day because that's what they've been told their whole life. And so I just saw a thing on Facebook that some dude who lives next to a golf course on his fence had, like, a Marine Corps seal and said, like, the owner of this house
will defend his right to do whatever. Do not step one foot. It is not worth your golf ball. You have been like,
I will murder you if you just try to do something minor.
Exactly. And I feel like I keep seeing things like that of they are, you hear these people talking about,
oh, if he broke into my house, I would have done this. Oh, he should have tried that to my family. I would have done that.
And they are so gung-ho about these hypothetical hero scenarios that we end up with people in a mob kicking a bunch of fucking hippies out of their little commune because they put an ohm in what used to be a church. When this guy is the bad guy. They talk about child sex predators and whatever, molestation.
Turns out the child sex predator is the bad guy in this story.
We know that, like, we know, like, the Catholic Church, we know that people, like, how come nobody's storming into a Catholic church and being like, hey, I know somebody got molested in here. I'm going to fucking kick all of y'all out because this is my house. Like, I just don't, it's so much easier to tilt after windmills, right? Tilt at windmills, right? It's much easier to support the pre-born, quote unquote, right? Until they're born and then they have wants and needs and responsibilities. Just like it's hard to say to the Catholic Church, hey, you're protecting people who are hurting children and it needs to stop. That's hard. That takes courage and bravery and the strength of your convictions. What's easy is whipping you and your friends up into a frenzy and then, like, going on a joyride and pretending that you're cops. Like, it's so pathetic that they think that masculinity and Christianity always means, like, physically defending and protecting things, when we don't need that for the most part. You are what we need protection from. Maybe, like, take a step back and think of what is actually something Christ would do. Because I guarantee fucking to you, Christ was not Mad Max Fury Roading into a fucking Appalachian commune. It's just so pathetic. And
this is why I only have like three stories we're talking about
it's
today.
It's just so, like, he is a literal child molester.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he's the hero. And he is like, I bet you he's one of those QAnon lunatics who's like, oh, there's a child sex trafficking ring. Like, my dude, you are it. You are the sex trafficking ring. You are trying to fuck children. So don't pretend that an ohm in a church is the worst thing that's ever happened in that church. Because I get
it was
fucking
wild to watch comments on his Facebook posts because they're all like, you're, thank you for defending everything. We love you. You're a good man. It's like, oh, I see none of
so
you
pathetic.
Care about that child
so
from
pathetic.
Years ago. Anyway, let's move on to Spokane. This week,
Spokane.
There was
Washington.
there was a prayer event. We've talked about Sean Foyt, the Christian nationalist and COVID spreader, who's going like capital, state capital, the state capital to do his...
The tent guy?
Which guy?
Tent? Did he have like tent revivals all around the country during COVID?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, what? COVID? Who cares? No masks. Everyone gather in tiny spaces.
Was he a you're not allowed to wear a mask guy?
In my space, you're not allowed
Got
to.
It. Okay.
And no one wanted to, because if you're seeing this guy, you do not know how science works.
Nope.
So anyway, he was in Spokane, Washington, doing a worship event. And the thing is, here's why this made news this week, because otherwise I wouldn't care. This event was attended by the mayor of Spokane, Nadine Woodward, and a city council candidate who's currently like trying to become a city council member, and another candidate who ran and lost a while back. These three women appeared on stage with Sean Foyt and another former state lawmaker named Matt Shea. We'll get back to him in a second. And basically, there's video of this on stage. And you see, I'm just going to focus on the mayor here. You see the mayor on stage with these two guys putting their arms on her shoulders like, we have an enemy we need to fight. His name is Satan, said Matt Shea. Then Foyt's like, I've had the privilege to pray over many mayors and many governors and even the president. But not every city in the world has a prophetic history like Spokane.
Ooh.
Which, all right, buddy.
Them Spokane prophets.
Mm-hmm.
We're always talking about the prophets of Spokane.
So why did this make news? It's not because the mayor decided to go to a prayer event, because any elected official can go to church if they want to. It's that this mayor in Washington State not only appeared with Sean Foyt, who is basically a Christian nationalist of the worst kind and did his best to harm people during the pandemic, which should be bad enough.
Yeah.
It's that Matt Shea, the former lawmaker who is there, everyone in Washington who pays attention to politics knows who Matt Shea is, which means this mayor absolutely knows who Matt Shea is, and she appeared on stage with him anyway. Who is Matt Shea, you wonder? Let me answer that for you.
Tell me.
In 2018, Matt Shea had been in office for about 10 years. He was thinking about running for re-election or something. Mm-hmm. And the newspaper publishes a 4-page document that this guy has written. Mm-hmm. It discusses the biblical basis for war. One of those sections, called The Rules for War, includes one that says there should be a penalty for men who are accused, who are guilty, found guilty, of breaking biblical law.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to quote.
Oh, boy.
If they do not yield, kill all males.
I've never thought I would agree with somebody, but honestly, if this is his tack he's taking, yeah, I'd subscribe to his newsletter.
Pretty bad.
Kill all males.
He said the line was taken out of context. Don't know what that context would be. Mm. But after that document was exposed, he lost his role as chair of the state's Republican caucus.
He wrote that down. Come
on paper,
gang.
In pen, yeah. In 2019, this is after that, he was exposed for being part of a chat room in which he and his buddies discussed violently attacking their political enemies. Oh, and wait, he was also found to be part of a group that planned and participated in acts of domestic terrorism. That's not my phrasing. It was domestic terrorism. He's a domestic terrorist.
What did he do?
They were trying to take over. I forgot the specifics. I'm going to read the headline for you. Washington Representative Matt Shea engaged in domestic terrorism against U.S., says State House report. He planned and participated during an armed takeover at a national wildlife refuge.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this guy did.
I remember that happening.
So
Matt Shea, you said his name was?
Matt, S-H-E-A. Yeah. So anyway, that's this guy. Also, he proposed the creation of a 51st state between like the eastern part of Washington and the western part of Idaho, and it would be just for Christians.
Oh, yeah.
That's also part of his
thing. Listen, Idaho's beautiful. We couldn't give up eastern Washington. Mm. I don't think anybody will miss it.
And he was fined $4,700 for once dumping oil at the state capitol. Why? Because the Satanic Temple was protesting outside and he needed to save the capitol.
Can we talk about the filter on his picture?
Yeah, his official political picture is
photoshopped within an inch of his life.
He's also a fan of white nationalists. Not Christian nationalists, mind you.
Oh, sure.
White nationalists. So, how bad is it in Washington? They, Republicans, pushed this guy to resign. He did not. But in mid-2020, he just didn't file the paperwork to run for re-election. I think he knew, like, oh, I'm going to lose if I run
right now.
So that's his end of politics in 2020.
Yeah, Bundy. Sorry, I was looking at that Bundy ranch.
He's part of that group.
I figured that's who that was.
So that's Matt Shea.
Gotcha.
He's not a good dude. He's a domestic terrorist.
Say.
And now he's like a pastor. Of course he's a pastor.
I think he's AI generated.
So,
I don't believe
so
he exists.
The mayor of Spokane, the current mayor, goes to an event, sees Matt Shea there. I mean, it's not like it was hidden. He wasn't sprung up out of nowhere there.
Mm-hmm.
She knew he was going to be there. She shows up there. She sees him on stage where he's putting his arm like on her and praying over her and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, I'm good with this. So now everyone is pissed off about this. So hours after that event, and people are already like, what the hell are you doing next to this guy?
So he's widely acknowledged, even in this group.
So
like,
acknowledged,
ooh, stay
this
away.
Is not a good guy. Sean Foyt, not a good guy either, but I kind of get that he's doing his politics thing. Matt Shea is not a good dude.
Wow.
So the mayor soon claimed, I am deeply disturbed. This is her statement hours after the event. I am deeply disturbed that Matt Shea chose to politicize a gathering of thousands of citizens who joined together yesterday to pray for fire victims and first responders, because there was a wildfire there. That was her response after people are like, wait, you were at a what with who now?
And she's mad that people
Matt
politicized.
Matt Shea politicized it. Matt Shea
she's
did not
mad that he politicized
he
it by showing up.
By showing up. which is weird because his name was on the posters.
And she saw him and like physically engaged with him.
Yeah, like she didn't condemn him on stage.
And
she
then walked away and was like, uh-oh, I forgot. We don't like him anymore, I guess.
Much.
I mean, maybe she's like me and she gets white guy face blindness. Maybe she has a disability and we should let her off the hook.
She knew exactly who he was. So then hours later...
You know, I'm an advocate for people with disabilities, so I just really want to make sure we're covering our bases.
Hours later, she puts out a second statement.
Oh,
because
that one didn't do it.
Turns out blaming Matt Shea for the thing you showed up for doesn't make sense. Now she says, I did not seek, nor do I accept any support from Matt Shea. I am opposed to his political views as they are a threat to our democracy, and I regret my public appearance with him. Then she says, I was not aware he would be at the event last night, and it only became apparent as I was walking on stage that he would be leading the prayer. Like, it doesn't even... I don't think that's true. But even if that was true, you're on stage now with a domestic terrorist. You
right.
know who this guy is. You could say, you could use your
statement. This was your
statement.
Choice to
You chose
there.
To shut the hell up mm-hmm. about it and just say, well, I'm doing this for Jesus or whatever she
because
did.
Honestly, like, she's mayor?
She's the mayor so of a giant city.
But I will say, I would not be surprised if she did not know that Matt Shea was going to be there, just because it's not like she's like reading the flyers of the places she's going.
She
like,
just showed up to a thing that she thought was a wildfire EMT, let's support them event. Well, you know who says you're wrong about that?
Oh, God.
You know who says you're wrong about that?
Shit.
Matt Shea, because he said on Twitter, this is an annual event planned months ago to worship Jesus. It wasn't for fire victims. She was invited and she accepted before the fires started. However, we, of course, wanted to pray last night for all those who have lost everything and be there for them and also pray for our leaders. Basically, and then he adds, she is the one that politicized what everyone knows was a worship event. Oh, to get flamed by Matt Shea.
Jesus Christ.
Who's calling, throwing her under the bus.
Let them fight.
The Christian terrorist has a point. And she's lying, which wouldn't, I mean,
you're
that could be a problem.
All of the Spokane Valley and just work it out there.
Yeah, right. She's currently running for re-election, by the way.
You gotta.
So the former president of the Spokane City Council, who lost the 2019 race against Nadine Woodward, he pounced on her and he's not even running for anything. He said, it's so disgusting. If a Christian white nationalist asks you to stand up on stage and be prayed for, you say no.
No, thank you, please.
And you leave the room the moment you figure out that person is there. You don't go to white Christian nationalist events put on by Christian nationalists and not expect the Christian nationalist to be there. He called on her to resign.
Wow.
Her current opponent for re-election did not call on her to resign, which I don't get it. What are you people doing in politics? But she did say Woodward should be disavowing Matt Shea, an anti-woman, anti-LGBTQ extremist associated with political violence, which is the softest condemnation you could have. But seriously, Mayor, what are you doing?
That's wild shit, eh? Oh my God. I'm curious how that's going to resolve itself.
The campaign ads write themselves. Here's a picture of her with the terrorist voters. What do you want to do in a giant city where there are a lot of you who are Democrats?
Oh boy. This is wild shit.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The world got really strange on us.
I know. Let's keep going.
Wait. Let's just take a step back. We are talking about a mayoral candidate who freely associated with a white nationalist domestic terrorist. And she's like, what? I don't, what? Who,
why are
me?
You all mad at me? Listen, if you haven't run for office before, these are the people who run and make it and win.
I feel like I need to start laying this groundwork a little bit more. If you are listening to this podcast right now.
Get on it.
And you have any inclination to run for office, believe you me, Hemant and I, dead in the water. Could not do it. There's too much shit on us. And frankly, I would be bad at it.
It would be so easy to just declare a war on woke and then I'll find the votes.
I really think that like if my husband can't find a job in the next like 6 months, I might finally pull the ripcord and say I'm a born again Jesus person and write a book and become a, you know, 10,000-aire.
Yes, there you go.
I mean, if things get really grim around here, that's fine. Did you know I just had to pick up my prescription with my new bullshit insurance? $65 for a month's worth of my ADHD medicine, and as opposed to the $5 I was paying before. Uh-huh. Fuck this fucking country.
Speaking of which, Let's go to Massachusetts. I'm going to tell you about Michael and Kitty Burke.
Michael and Kitty Burke.
It's Catherine. She goes by Kitty.
The whitest couple.
They
you
are
said they're
white.
From Massachusetts?
They are from Massachusetts.
Oh, boy.
And here's the thing. I would tell you about their bio because they really want everyone to know how amazing they are.
Are they amazing?
No.
Oh.
But basically, here's the reason we're talking about them. They wanted to take in a foster child. They applied for roles, mm-hmm. Those roles, and good for them for wanting to take in a foster child.
Yep.
They applied with the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families. That's the name of their DCF thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's a long process because
sure.
state officials have to, like, you have to interview them. You have to train them if they make it past that stage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really assess their home life and make sure children will be safe in their custody.
Sure.
Obviously. It's not something you do quickly. And basically, with this couple, everything seemed to be going just fine, they said. But then they were ultimately rejected as foster parents. Why? Because according to a lawsuit they just filed against the state, the state made it clear that the state's representative who was assessing them said they would not be affirming to a child who identified as LGBTQIA. And
whoops.
The reason they were saying that is during the interview process, I'm paraphrasing here, they asked this couple, like, okay, so, like, what would you do if a child that was placed in your care was gay, was trans, came out that way? And they basically said, well, we're Catholic. Therefore, the Catholic Church denies trans identities. Mm-hmm. They oppose same-sex marriage. They tried to spin this in a good way. Like, of course, we still love them and we would attend their wedding, assuming they would be virgins forever.
We would love the sinner and hate the sin, which is a really nice environment for anybody to grow up in.
Yeah, they were like, well, if the person is trans, of course we're not going to support a transition care or anything like that.
Quote, unquote, love them.
Right. And so basically, the state has an obligation to the children. And it's like, well, no, part of the non-discrimination laws in Massachusetts say, no, if you're going to take care of any kids, you have to say you're supportive of these kids. I mean, there are plenty of fundamentalist Christians who support punishment.
Sure.
Corporal punishment. And if they did an interview and they said, well, if your child was acting out, hey, guess what? They're foster children. That happens.
Sure.
If they're acting out, how are you going to discipline them? And the couple said, well, we're Christians. So
slap them across the face.
Here's the rod we're going to use. They would also be rejected. Now, here's the question, because this is what it all boils down to.
Oh, boy.
In that hypothetical I just made up with the punishment, the corporal punishment, if they said, yeah, this is our beaten rod, we do this because we're Christian, and the state was like, no, you cannot handle children. We cannot say you're approved for taking in children. Would they have done that because the family said they were going to beat the kids, or because they're Christian?
Oh, I think it's specifically because they're Christian.
Right.
I mean, I think the physical abuse has nothing to do with
nothing.
It, frankly.
So the Catholic couple, Michael,
hate.
Michael and Kitty say they are being discriminated against because of their Catholic faith. That's what this is all about. And the
Michael
states,
and Kitty, guys, oh, it's so bad.
The state said in their writing, their faith is not supportive and neither are they. And their faith is not supportive. But to be clear, there are plenty of Catholics, just to give you some numbers here, more than a third of U.S. Catholics, regardless of what the church tells them, they accept trans identities. More than two-thirds of U.S. Catholics support marriage equality, even though that's forbidden by the church. There's no reason, in other words, that being a Catholic would put anybody out of the running to take in a foster child.
Mm-hmm.
These people are like, the state said no to us because we're Catholic. It's like, no, it's because you're bigots and you are proud of that. And kids would not be safe in your home if they happen to be LGBTQ. We don't care that you are Catholic, but you just happen to say,
I don't care why you hate queer people.
Right.
I just care that you hate queer people.
And that's what this comes down to. That's why I don't really get this case. The conservative legal group Beckett, which is doing this lawsuit, they insisted that the DCF's actions, quote, are discriminatory and unconstitutional. And if you go to their website where they document, and here's pictures of Michael and Kitty. Mike is an Iraq War veteran. Kitty is a former paraprofessional for special needs children. And together, they run a small business. And I'm reading all this, and I'm like, no one cares.
So?
That is irrelevant to what is going on here. I'm sure they're fine in other ways of their life. But mm-hmm. when it comes to whether they would be good foster parents and actually take care of kids, the answer is no, they're bigots. Both of those things can be true, and no one cares about the good stuff. No one was arguing about that. DCF wasn't challenging any of that.
Right.
They're saying we can't put kids in your home because they would not be necessarily safe in your home.
Right. And this is neither here nor there. I don't think DCFS can, like, make a judgment call on this. But for me personally, when I hear something like that, like, okay, yeah, you're never going to accept your kid being trans. What happens when they come home with, like, they're fucking ear pierced or a mohawk or something like that. Like, genuinely, if you are, like, already going to say, they're not going to be gay, I'm going to ensure it, I don't think you're going to be the kind of person that fosters a person into being the adult they want to be and instead are going to try to hammer them into a good Catholic adult.
Yeah.
Who can go on to not adopt any other queer kids because fuck them, right?
Beckett's lawyers, the conservative group's lawyers, argued that the Supreme Court's on our side because in 2021, there was a case called Fulton in which the city of Philadelphia was forced to honor a contract with Catholic Social Services, even though Catholic Social Services refused to work with same-sex couples. The city basically said, well, then we can't give you any money to facilitate adoptions and foster kids. And the Catholic group sued, and the Supreme Court said, you got to work with them still. Yeah. You can't discriminate that way. But to be clear, everyone accepted the Catholic group was bigoted, and the state couldn't force them to not work with same-sex couples or anything, or to work with them. But the city, when it was working with foster parents and things like that, the city was allowed to maintain its own standards, which are much higher than the Catholic ones.
Right.
So, like, I don't know why that case law would apply here. Like, in Massachusetts, families can be excluded from taking in foster children if they don't meet the state's qualifications. This couple did not. I don't know what there is to argue about then. Like, the bulk of the lawsuit, if you read it, is spent praising the couple, talking about their qualifications, which no one is arguing about.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're capable. That might be true. But they're also bigots, and you can't have both. The state has an obligation to the children and the anti-discrimination laws in the state. The Burks do not. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. And imagine, really quick, sorry. Imagine if the state placed a trans child in their home. And because the Burks deny trans identities, because of their Catholicism, the child later committed self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
There would be outrage against the state mm-hmm. for knowingly placing a child in a home that wasn't accepting, that was never going to accept them. And of course, that would be an awful thing to happen. And in this case, the state was proactive about it and said, we can't have that situation happen, so you're off our list. That doesn't seem like a bad move.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just replace, you know, being queer with literally anything else, right? Say they have this kid for 5 years and then at 12 they're in a car accident and have to use a wheelchair for the rest of their life or suffer brain damage. Like, would you, that's who your kid is now. Are you allowed to decide that, like, you're not going to support that person anymore? To me, it's all of a piece. Like, when you have a kid or adopt a kid or whatever, you are signing up to take that kid's journey with them. It is not your journey, right? It is about them figuring out who they are. And if who they are doesn't conform with the gender they were assigned at birth, or if they're, God forbid, autistic or something like that, they have to deal with, like, you don't...
If there are any special needs kids, you take care of them.
You don't
your parents,
get to dictate
you
what
them.
You accept from your kid or yeah. not, right? Unless they're hurting somebody.
There were a lot of Republicans, not just in the debate, but like a lot of states, a lot of conservative Republicans basically making the argument when it comes to banning books and whatever teachers are doing in classrooms. Mm-hmm. Their argument is, these are our kids. We want to save them and protect them. And it's like, they're not... I know biologically they are yours, but they're
whole human beings.
They are human
rights.
Beings in their own right. And what the hell are you pretending to control them? What's that all about?
It's so frustrating.
There is a Washington Post opinion columnist, Kathleen Parker, a conservative who's been there for a long time. She published an essay this week basically flipping out over what Massachusetts did and spending a bulk of her column talking about how amazing the Burks are. Mm. And this is what she said. For the record, I'm not a Catholic, though I do come from a long line of Irish Catholics, yada, yada, yada. But persecution found Catholics even in a country that had codified religious freedom. Today, Catholics seem to be the only group that can be diminished, ridiculed, and penalized for their faith without public outrage.
Truly, that they don't see the irony of this is so embarrassing.
You know who's...
It's embarrassing.
You know who's persecuted in America these days? Catholics.
Yeah,
so many
poor Catholics.
Maybe one day there'll be a Catholic in Congress.
Or maybe even
a
Catholic president. Could you imagine a Catholic president? That's wild.
Cannot believe it. Maybe two. Maybe a current one. Who knows?
They've been discriminated against, so they're never going to rise up.
By the way, I had to look back because I'm like, Kathleen Parker sounds familiar. Why do I hate her? Oh, yes, because like a week after 9/11, she wrote an article that said, there are no atheists in foxholes, as we've always known. There were none in the World Trade Center on September 11th, we can guess.
We can guess?
Yes.
You're lying.
And now
to me.
There are none anywhere to be found. America today is about God and country. But then it always has been. We just lost track.
These people are so embarrassing. Like, I know I use that.
She's had
I
a job for
it.
Over two decades writing this shit.
It's so embarrassing, though. Like, can you imagine your legacy is diminishing the existence of non-Christians in 9/11? Can you imagine a worse thing to say than we assume there were no atheists in who died on 9/11? And I feel comfortable writing that, and everybody's gonna read it and be like, yeah, she's right. There were no atheists. Good job, everybody. We're really nailing this.
That article began, one can't help notice the silence of atheists these days. As an atheist in 2001, I'm just saying, buddy, we were talking. We were very upset.
Yeah.
There was a reason.
I am just...
Oh,
like, hey, do they know that atheists are also anti-terrorism? And, like, we don't sell... I think that's the thing, right? They always, like, the whole, like, every accusation is a confession of, like... It's because you guys want us to, like, you want us to suffer, right? Like, I just, oh my God, these
anyway,
fucking people.
I got one more for you that should piss you off even more. You're welcome. And then, if you're good, I will skip my Ken Ham story.
Ooh.
All right, so
okay,
that's
I'm gonna
your
pay
reward.
Really strict attention. Right. Okay.
So, backstory here. April of 2022, Democrats in Colorado passed a law establishing free preschool across the state beginning right now, like 2023. So what it means is children can now access half-day programs, 15 hours a week, no cost to their parents. The government's office said it would save families an average of $4,300 a year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that gives kids a head start on their education. Mm-hmm. Awesome opportunity. Who the hell would be against free preschool for kids?
Wait.
Nope, different story. Now, here's the deal. If you want to receive funding from the state to run the preschools, you have to follow some basic rules. Don't discriminate against kids. That's an easy one. You have to accept kids, regardless of where they're coming from.
Oh, no.
Non-discrimination laws,
I'm
all
scared.
That stuff. So the Denver Catholic Archdiocese is now suing the state.
You gotta
Why? Because
the
they're like, well, we want the money to run a preschool, but you tell us we have to accept all children? And their argument here is that Catholicism, do you see a theme today, requires us to reject kids who have gay parents and staffers who are in same-sex relationships.
It's not our fault. The Bible literally says, thou shalt not take in any kids who have same-sex marriage.
That is a Jesus original.
It's what, seventh, eighth? It's up there.
It's
in
one
the
of
top the ten.
It
cracked the top ten.
One of those commandments. Yeah.
These fucking assholes.
The church
just
says,
using any excuse
we can't
they can.
Recognize the existence of trans people or use their pronouns, which really preschoolers are all about. Use my pronoun. They all know what pronouns are. They also want to ban students from wearing the opposite sex's uniform or using the wrong bathrooms. Which, again, they're preschool. They don't use bathrooms, by the way. Some of them.
Truly, the shit they focus on is... I don't think I will ever get over this kind of thing. After we're bouncing back
How
from, like,
anyone be
blatant
a Catholic?
Discrimination against people. Like, Christian nationalists, like, fucking shit up all over the place. And the Catholics are like,
But I swear to fucking God, if I see a girl in pants, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. This far, no further.
Yeah. The lawsuit says enrolling children with gay parents into an archdiocese's school is likely to lead to intractable conflicts. Why? Because
we're bigots and we hate you.
A Catholic school cannot treat a same-sex couple as a family equivalent to the natural family without compromising its mission and Catholic identity.
A natural family, just like Jesus had, and just like and you Tate, do every Sunday.
And Tate has a natural family. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a simple solution to all this. The Catholic Church
doesn't have
to take the money from the state. You can run a preschool.
Discriminate against whomever you want, Catholic Church. And go fucking ham.
They don't have to take the state's money to run their preschool. And they know that. So guess what their lawsuit also says? And this is the part that just had me cackling out loud.
I've never seen you this excited.
Oh, my God.
Okay, what did he say?
Because their lawsuit says, by creating a program that provides universal, in quote,
quote, yep,
provides universal funding for preschool programs, Colorado has cornered the market for preschool services. Any providers who do not participate in the program will be severely disadvantaged, since they will be forced to charge significantly higher prices than the participating programs.
Yeah, but Catholic schools, though.
Uh-huh. Basically,
literally, they're just describing what a Catholic school is.
Right.
And so they're saying this is untenable, though they clearly have enough clout to do this.
That is correct.
These fucking idiots.
Beckett, the same conservative legal group.
It's not completely and only about me, then it doesn't matter because I'm the only thing that matters in the entire... Like, fuck children. These fucking people had the worst blinders, the worst tunnel vision I have ever heard of.
Yeah, the conservative legal group Beckett, same people defending Kitty in the last story.
Good group.
Here's their press release. I'm quoting this exactly. This ban forces parents to choose between paying out of pocket for the cost of faith-based preschool...
It's not a ban, though.
Or receiving a free preschool education at any other private school in Colorado. It also hurts the ability of schools like St. Mary's and St. Bernadette's to compete with other preschools that can offer free preschool education.
Wait, are you a free market capitalist or are you not a free market capitalist?
Right. In the marketplace of ideas, Catholics lose and they admit that and they're like, that's unfair.
Help us. This is like when my dad admitted to me that how much golf is subsidized by the government. Because he's like, because if you had to just pay out of pocket what it was worth, you couldn't afford it. And I was like, yeah, sounds like you can't afford it then. They're apparently about to put another golf course up in Wisconsin. I'm so fucking mad about it. I hate golf courses.
The Archdiocese isn't suing to end the free pre-K program. Mm-hmm. They just want it to go on, but they also want access to the money and they want to discriminate against kids and their families. I should say, if this sounds at all familiar, a similar predicament happened in Maine where they provide a government-funded public education across the state, because
the Supreme Court case?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there are some parts of Maine that are so rural, there are no public schools nearby. Maine said we will fund private school education or provide tuition money for that if that's your only option. Mm-hmm. The lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court said, well, what if we're a private religious school? And the Supreme Court said, give money to religious schools as well. But then Maine lawmakers went back to the drawing board and said, all right, we know where the Supreme Court's going to go on this. So, fine. Any private school can participate in the program and get tuition money. Mm-hmm. They just can't discriminate. And then the Catholic schools that sued, the private Christian schools that sued to the Supreme Court and won, were like, oh, but we really want to discriminate. I guess we just won't take your money then. And they dropped out of the program.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
There is a way forward in Colorado,
yeah.
Whatever their rules are. But this should be an easy case. No one is forcing the Catholic Church to do anything that would violate its beliefs. Mm. The Archdiocese is just mad that everyone else seems to be doing just fine without them.
Yeah, I mean...
Wild.
It truly, they believe that because they've always had power, they deserve to keep that power, even if they now have to depend on the government. They're so far up their own ass that they make all of these like exceptions for themselves. But then if anybody else is like, hey, could we do an exception? They're like, how could you? Our founding fathers would never allow this. Yeah. Like, Who is the main character of this story, my
dude? I laughed out loud during the Republican debate when Vivek is going on and on about the founding fathers and the Constitution. It's like, buddy, neither group, the founders and the Constitution did not want you voting.
Oh boy, no.
At any point, which is good because he doesn't vote. He's voted, I think 2020 was his first election.
You're lying.
Nope.
Is that true?
That's true.
Wait, like legally, he,
first
no,
time
he's
he voted
an American citizen, right?
He is citizen. He said the first time he voted, minus a throwaway vote for like a libertarian in 04, was for Trump in 2020 or something like that. That was the first time he
and
voted.
And he bragged?
Yep.
About that at a presidential debate.
No, he didn't brag about that, but that is true about him.
Really?
I'm telling you, he'll say anything he thinks the base wants to hear. He's horrible. I don't know why we're talking about him, but he's horrible.
You love talking about him. You're just so happy you got a brown guy to talk about,
dude,
and cheer for and really
so
represent
much.
You.
Watching
in the world.
Nikki Haley yell at him during the debate, which she
debate.
Did a really good job of yelling at him, uh-huh. even though her ideas are stupid too. But it's like, oh my God, this is every Indian mother just yelling at their child. This is glorious. I know that look on her face. I know what his look is right now.
Oh, my
God. It is
God.
So funny. And, of course, he's like number three. I don't know, Vivek.
It's
such a crap group
did
of
I tell you about
options.
That, the Indian couple I met in Mexico last year, and they were so fun. I was like, oh, yeah, like, everybody I grew up with was Indian, and I was, like, asking them things, and they're like, wait, how do you know those things? And I was like,
those are secrets.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are trade exactly. secrets you're not supposed to know.
All right. Is that it? Are
let's,
we done?
No, no, let's end with a quiz. We have a quiz about all this.
I do love tests.
I know. You're going to love this one.
Oh, God.
So I saw this at the National Catholic Register, Catholic
okay.
publication.
Real Catholic heavy week,
I know.
Eh?
Here's the
is it
title.
Of, is it because it's so hot we're literally in hell right now?
It could be. Here's the headline on their article, and I laughed out loud. And now you know why I had to click on this. Wait, wait for it. Can you recognize superstition when you see it? take this 10-point quiz to find out.
Ooh, okay, yes, I would
and
like
I'm
to
like,
take this
wait,
quiz,
wait, wait,
please.
Wait. Did the Catholic website just tell me, can you recognize superstition? I'm like,
this.
Buddy.
I love this.
Buddy,
okay,
can
let's
you
go.
Recognize superstition? Okay.
All right,
so
10 questions.
It's written by this woman, Patty Armstrong. She wrote the quiz. She wants to help identify. She wants to help Catholics
mm-hmm.
identify common spiritual traps.
Traps.
These
as
are all,
opposed to truths.
Yes. Okay. All true or false questions.
Great.
Should be easy.
Okay.
Number one.
Number one.
Reading horoscopes just for fun is not a problem if you don't believe in them.
Reading horoscopes for fun is not a...
if you don't believe
I
in them.
I think that is a trap. So I think...
True or false?
False. It's false. It's false. I couldn't remember. Listen, when you have like a compound sentence like this and then say true or false, it's very confusing.
Save that because you're going to want that explanation
okay.
for a lot of this because okay. a lot of her questions are not straight up true false. And it's like, what answer do you want here?
Okay.
Here's her entire answer.
Yep.
She links to a website called Catholic Answers, but she says,
well, there you go.
Catholic Answers explains that horoscopes go against the first commandment.
Thou if shalt you, not...
No other gods before me.
Okay.
If you read them just for fun,
that's a first
find
one?
A new hobby, she says.
All right, that's,
so
I mean,
that,
I was right.
Is that false? She implies
yeah.
it's false.
It's false because...
But doesn't come out and say it.
Well, no, this is poorly written, but I understand what she's saying.
But okay, the correct answer was true. Like, it's
wait.
Stupid. I mean, in my head. In my head, the correct answer is, yeah, I mean, if you want to read them, but you
yeah.
don't believe in them and you think it's cute and fun,
yeah.
all right, I mean, I'll make fun of you, but like, whatever, it's true. It's not harmful. It's useless, but it's not harmful.
It's like in Community when Shirley's like, ooh, my horoscope predicted doom for me today. And she's like, I'm Christian, so anything the horoscope says the opposite is true. Like, it's just outstanding stuff.
Okay, number...
Number two.
Number two. There's nothing wrong with wearing my lucky shirt for a big challenge.
There is something wrong. False. There is something wrong because you're putting... So now I know I'm going to get them right, so I'm just going to guess her reason. Because you're putting faith in something else besides God. Or is it another, like, idolatry thing? Which one?
I don't know. Here's what she wrote in her answer. Oh. Some say the lucky shirt is just a security blanket, nothing superstitious. Wearing something to feel or look good to build confidence? Not a problem.
But...
If you wear something believing it gives you good luck, that attributes power to an object and thus superstitious.
Bing bong.
So I think you're right.
But I am right.
Again, she did not say
don't take this away
it's
from
false.
Me. Okay. I'm absolutely right. Okay.
Number three.
Yep.
Blessed medals, M-E-D as in dog, medals, can be used for spiritual protection.
Like miraculous someone, medals that people, there's like oval things that
sure,
Catholics wear around their neck?
I guess.
Yeah, it's protection, right? Spiritual protection. I feel like it's going to be no, but I don't know why, though.
I mean,
okay, so
my
I'm saying
answer,
true. I'm saying
my
true.
My answer was clearly superstitious because yeah, blessed medals are like lucky shirts.
But
it's, they,
but
it's all
that's
in your
not
head.
Superstition to them. It's blessed
okay,
or blessed.
And that is the answer she gives. Here's her explanation.
Very good at this.
It's, can they be used for spiritual protection? True. She says, once blessed, medals are sacramentals that really do offer protection.
I'm very good at this.
And at this point, I have to wonder, what is? How do we decipher superstition from not superstition?
Haven't you got to meet people where they are.
Okay.
She
so
thinks
blessed
that a
medal,
shirt is not
that's,
magic,
that's
but
not
your
magic,
medal is magic.
But the medal is magical. Who knew? I don't know what our the score
Pope
is at this point.
I am winning. I
okay,
am 3-3.
Throwing pennies into a wishing pond and making a wish is okay just for fun.
It's not okay just for fun. Falso.
Correct. Superstitious. Pennies don't grant wishes, but God hears our prayers,
mm-hmm,
she writes. If you make a wish and throw a penny in a pond, where do you think your wish is going? Checkmate.
What?
So, yes, throwing pennies into a wishing pond is superstitious, and how
okay,
dare you? All right, number five. Curses are real and can harm you.
Curses are real and can harm you. Okay, I don't think Catholics use the word curse, so I'm going to say it is false because I think, yeah, I think they would not call it a curse. I think that's too witchy.
I also assumed it was false because
yeah,
curses are, I mean, obviously curses are not real. They can't harm you. It's all psychological. But these are Catholics. But these are Catholics. So I was guessing, okay, but they'll say it's true. But she gives a wishy-washy answer. Here's her answer. Whether you should be afraid if someone puts a curse on you depends on you. Exorcists frequently see people suffering from curses. And then she says she spoke to an exorcist about this, and they said we need not fear evil. So there's your answer.
I don't
know what that means. Is that true or false?
That is neither. Wait, it's a...
Curses are real.
Curses
are
real.
But they don't have to harm you.
And what was the question?
Curses.
Can a
curses are real and can harm you. True
that's
or false?
The true.
That's it.
And she said true?
She didn't say.
She said, if you believe in
it's
them.
It's the worst quiz. I swear to God. Okay.
Well, I'm still winning.
All right. Number six.
Yep.
Number six. Burying a Saint Joseph statue is an acceptable Catholic practice.
Yeah. Isn't that the thing where you bury Saint Joseph's statue and you find something you've been looking for or something like that?
I've heard it that you bury it in your front yard when you're trying to sell a house.
Oh.
And that way your house gets sold. So,
Happy birthday, Mikey.
And then... I thought it was just a silly superstition, but a lot of Catholics do it, because why would you have that
Saint
statue
Joseph,
otherwise?
What's St. Joseph's the patron saint of?
I don't know. Selling bullshit?
Gah.
So anyway, her answer is false. You can't do it. It's not acceptable.
Oh, really?
She actually says, don't bury a statue of St. Joseph. Statues represent a person and are meant to be venerated above ground, not buried in the ground. Whatever you do, never bury a statue of St. Joseph upside down.
He should be buried upside down in the front yard facing the house,
well,
and that will help you sell your house.
We're getting very contradictory answers here from the internet.
The Catholic spirit says, can St. Joseph sell a house? Skip burying statue, priests say. There's also a WikiHow article, How to Bury St. Joseph in 11 Steps.
There you go. Dig a hole, throw it in,
we're
done. Number
one, buy a statue of St. Joseph. Great. Number two, wrap the statue in protective cloth. Three, gently bury that statue. Look at how gently that is.
Uh-huh.
Bury the statue. Consider burying the statue in a flower pot.
I'm going to move on to question seven.
You have to say prayer.
Praying the same short prayer over and over like a mantra is more superstitious than prayerful. So can you pray the same short prayer over and over?
Is more superstitious than...
Prayerful.
But then prayerful.
True or false? It's okay to say the same short prayer over and over.
I think she's going to say false. Because I think that's going to get into like what's the like yoga type, like mindfulness.
Okay.
And you know what I mean?
Fair, fair answer.
What's the word when you have like a, your thing that you say to yourself that's like...
The rosary beads? The...
No, it's like a mantra, I guess is what it is. Like this too shall pass. And you just, this too shall pass, this too shall pass. That kind of thing.
So obviously... That is superstitious if you say things over and over and over. And if you're repeating a, if you think about this, if you repeat a prayer over and over, what does God hear you out the 57th time? If repetition mattered, what does it say about the Christian God that the first prayer didn't work? And why can't God hear the first one? Why do you even need to say the prayer? Can't God read your mind?
Right.
What's her answer? Her answer is repeating a short prayer over and over connects you with God.
Oh.
So it's okay. So it's not superstitious. But then she adds mantras not connecting with God, but believing it has some power. That's a cult.
A cult?
O-C-C-U-L-T. Occult.
Oh, occult.
Yes. So.
Oh, that's what I said. Didn't I say that? I had witchy in my head, but I said
it.
I said more Eastern spirituality.
If it's a true prayer, repeating it ad nauseum is fine. If it's anything else, it's of the devil.
I mean, also could be a sign of OCD, but I don't think she's necessarily worried
about
that right now.
Number eight,
knocking on
wood to ward off bad luck after tempting fate is a harmless habit.
False. Absolutely not.
You say she is going to say
she's
gonna false.
She's
going to
say false definitively.
That is correct. She says, say a prayer instead. Fine.
Yeah.
I will give you that one.
My
number
prayer
nine.
Is knocking on the table. What the
number
fuck
nine.
Do I know?
Holy water is only a symbol, not something with power attached to it.
Okay.
If you treat it as having power, you are superstitious.
False.
So you're saying Catholics believe holy water is not a symbol. It is...
Literal. Just like transubstantiation. People are supposed to believe that it's literally becoming the body of Christ.
Correct. She says holy water blessed by a priest is blessed by God in virtue of Christ's baptism. I assume that means what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
That is not superstitious. Holy water,
it's called
not
facts,
superstitious. Right. Let's go to the last question. Wait for it.
Oh, I won't.
Chalking a door with an epiphany blessing is like placing a horseshoe over your door. Both are simply symbols of protection.
I've never heard of chalking your door.
I had not either.
Did you look it up?
I did.
Are you going to tell me what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, she's going to say it's superstitious.
She says horseshoes are definitely superstitious.
I have one.
But chalking your door means, I'm reading from her directly.
Okay.
Chalking your door means inscribing 23 plus C plus M plus B as in boy plus 23 in chalk over a doorway. Let me repeat that for you. 23 plus C plus M plus B plus 23. Imagine that combination above your doorway written in chalk. And she says, it looks superstitious, but it's not. The letters represent the initials of the magi.
Magi. Okay.
Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, who came to visit Jesus. It's also an abbreviation of some Latin phrase, and the pluses represent the cross, and the numbers at the beginning and end mark the year.
So, 2007?
When that picture was taken that you're looking at, sure.
Oh, I see.
A random combination of numbers and letters in chalk on your door, that's not superstitious, you guys. That's like magical voodoo myth.
That's interesting.
That's okay.
Tell me the name of their Melchior, Balthazar,
and Caspar.
And Caspar. Melchior is the main character in Spring Awakening.
There you go.
What were these three boys supposed to be doing? Like, what's their jam?
They were just chilling out with Mary, hanging out with her.
Oh, they're like Mary's buddies?
Mary's boy toy friends.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad we honored why do we honor them? Why?
Because they were of the vicinity of Jesus for 3 minutes before they went on their merry way.
It's so strange.
So did we fail or pass the superstition quiz? I feel like we passed it.
We passed.
But the Catholics taking this have failed because I don't think they know what superstition means.
No, it's anything that they believe in that's not provable, but except for Catholic.
If it's their superstitions, it's true. Yeah. If it's anybody else's superstitions, it's superstition.
In Deuteronomy 6:9, God tells the people of Israel, quote, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You shall write them on the doorposts as of your house and on your gates.
Listen, if I see that in chalk on someone's door at night, I am running the hell away from that
Epiphany Day is on January 6th.
Yeah, that's a good day to celebrate stuff. January 6th, only good things happen.
You know what I found when I was doing some marketing for a furniture company is that the 12 days of Christmas start on Christmas Day. They do not end on Christmas Day. And I truly felt like my head was going. Like, I emailed my manager like, do we need to redo our marketing campaign? Because we're doing a 12 days of Christmas thing and we are getting it wrong.
Yeah, listen, the seventh day of Christmas is New Year's. We have moved on. Why haven't you? All right.
Oh, boy.
I'll stop there. Anyway, I'm not even going to dwell on this. Ken Ham has chosen a successor for Answers in Genesis.
Has he? Is he retired?
Not officially. And the successor is not official, but it's another Australian who is also a conspiracy theorist, but slightly more political.
All right.
Listen, I listened to hours of this guy's interviews, and man, they're annoying.
Oh, boy.
He's an election denier. Which, by the way, if you're an Australian, you don't get to deny U.S. elections. That's for Republicans only,
okay,
damn it.
Mr. Patriot.
I will defend the Republican
only
right.
Only Americans.
Only Americans get to have American conspiracy theories.
I feel like this is what every conservative's argument against John Oliver's existence. Like, you're British. You don't get an opinion. That was a weird and wild episode. I don't like when we record during the day, because now I have to, like...
You get to think about this now.
Yeah, I have to, like, move on with the rest of my day.
Where do we find you?
Honestly, fucking nowhere anymore. I don't know. I'm on Twitter at Jess Blumke, but I don't check it anymore. Facebook.
I'm on
is...
Twitter because I have problems at Hemant Mehta.
Truly.
If you're in Ontario, I'll be at BahaCon, BahaCon this weekend. Come check it out and drive there. If you're near Detroit, cross the border. Listen, you got nothing going on.
Yeah, use that passport. Get them stamps. Somebody has already reached out about the
a lot of you have reached out about the audio issues, and we appreciate it, and I've not gotten back to all of you because of issues on my end, but we will see if we could fix the audio issues. But thank you for all of you who apparently 90% of our listeners are all audio engineers, and I love you for that.
Also, at the beginning I gave fully the wrong date, and I'm so sorry about that. The 21st, October 21st is our meetup. No, October 14th is the horse show I've been talking about.
Oh my God.
Dates mixed up. I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm going to go back. We're going to dub over that right now, and it's going to sound awkward, but when you get to this part of the podcast, you'll understand why that sounded awkward.
I'm sorry I fucked up. But on October 14th, horse show at the Hanson Center, we already have a couple donors, and we really appreciate that. Reach out to me for more details. I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck Discord is, guys. I'm trying.
But if you are a $5 Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast, you will also get access to our Discord servers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. You had to be a patron?
I believe you do.
I don't think you do.
Maybe not.
No.
All right, we'll give it to you anyway. It's a freebie, so just
bonus
support
episode.
Us.
We're going to talk about, I did some nighttime wandering.
Uh-huh.
Went to a pizza farm.
What?
And my friend Anne spent the night. We watched some movies and like to talk about them.
Slumber party. Got it.
Slumber party.
All right, I'm going to dub over the date at the beginning. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.